A new marketplace poll shows economic anxiety rising as we approach the election. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. The latest results from the Marketplace Edison Research poll are in, a survey of 1,036 people, the 1st through the 8th of this month. A year ago, 33% of Americans were more fearful about being able to pay their monthly bills, losing their job, or saving for retirement. Now it's up to 39%, despite the official statistics showing the economy is improving. Let's explore this with Larry Rosen, president of Edison Research. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Good, although maybe not so good for voters. Economic anxiety, as we've been measuring it, is up again.
Yeah, and up dramatically. And it's just so interesting. If we go back to the genesis of this project, the idea behind it was the very strong sense we had that even as sort of cold, hard economic data was trying to argue that people should be feeling better about things, all of your reporting and our instincts were saying, we don't see that people are getting the message.
And it's not marginal. I mean, a year ago, 33% say they were losing sleep about their personal financial situation. And in this latest survey, it's up further.
I don't think you can avoid at all the fact that it must be the election season that is driving these numbers in the direction that they are going. And, you know, when you think about it, you have the two major party candidates both basically saying that the economy is bad and needs dramatic improvement. One maybe a little bit more dramatically than the other. And so how can cold, hard data from the government compete with that narrative coming from both sides of the election?
Now back to America, land of opportunity here. What are the percentages of people who feel secure financially at this point, beginning of October?
Right. So we ask a question, a pretty straightforward question about whether or not you feel financially secure. And only 34% of Americans in our survey said, yes, they feel financially secure. So that obviously 2/3 of Americans do not feel that way. And we do see big differences among different groups. The group that really stands out is African Americans, where only 19% of African Americans say they feel financially secure, as compared to much higher percentages of whites and even Hispanics, where 36% feel secure. And we also see a very large discrepancy when it comes to men versus women, 42% of men feeling financially secure as compared to 28% of women. So it may be just how people relate to their economy, because there's not a lot of evidence that men have more sort of discretionary income, things of that nature. So men maybe are more disposed to just feeling financially secure.
All the poll results are at marketplace.org. Don't miss the part about 48% of Donald Trump supporters who told us that government economic stats are bunk. Markets now. The FTSE in London is up 0.8%. The Dow future is up 0.5%, 87 points. This election season, we've been exploring an idea that the writer and social critic Kurt Vonnegut once suggested to me during an interview. Why not a secretary of the future to be sure that we get beyond thinking about the next financial quarter or next election cycle and think about the next generation? I was just in Vonnegut's hometown, Indianapolis, at an auditorium in the high school he attended, Short Ridge High, to ask people to set the agenda for a secretary of the future. We start here with Aman Brar, an entrepreneur who was on my panel. Then we switch to the audience.
You know, one of the things when I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning that I think about is this concept of universal basic income. Hear me out before you think I'm a socialist, because I'm not. I'd argue it's firmly in the category of compassionate capitalism. You know, in some ways, the way we think about work is going to transform very rapidly, and I think at a pace that we have, we're not prepared for. And while the concept of basic income, you know, can seem odd at first, but if you fast forward to a future where we have a machine, perhaps 100 years down the road, that could create anything that we could physically think of, right? In that world, we might go, well, gosh, yeah, we do need to figure out what a basic income might do for people.
First name is Kevin. Thanks, Dad. For me, the Secretary of the Future should be time management focused. I don't want anything to close. I want it all to stay open 24 hours. I think that would put more people to work, and that would give us all more options to do what it is that we need to do.
Hi, my name's Tom. We left the moon 40 years ago. There is an asteroid out there with our name on it, and right now we have all of our eggs in one very small, delicate basket. What are we going to do about this?
Hi, my name is Julia. I would like for the Secretary of the Future to figure out how to electronically register newborn babies to vote so that it automatically kicks in, so that whole problem of voter registration goes away.
So my name's Mitch. So much of these possibilities that we talk about when we think about the future are based on what we're used to, which is cheap energy. And we know that we only have a finite amount of that, and we're burning it up literally every day. We need to think about how we will do things differently when all of that cheap energy runs out.
Gene, I believe we already have secretaries of the future. There are elected officials. And I believe we let our elected officials down because of our inability or not being allowed to communicate with them properly on a day-to-day basis. And these secretaries of the future, unfortunately, are elected into office and never again have to answer to the people. Our future is how are we going to control them to ensure that we live in a world that is a benefit to all mankind.
The Indianapolis event was produced in association with the Vonnegut Library and our station there, WFYI. Thank you. People there also wanted to set the values of a Secretary of the Future, not just issues. We'll have those voices next week here. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.